Morning, morning. Welcome to Friday the 15th of January. We are here with Talking Pathways episode 3. And I, most importantly, I'm really privileged to be here with a good friend of mine, both from a personal and a professional perspective. How long have we known each other, Chris?
It's 20 plus years.
Wow, that makes me feel really
old. I think I met you when I was about 7.
In your dreams. But it is great to be here with Chris. A lot of people will be dialing in live. As you know, we're talking pathways. This is episode 3. What happens is we will be live for 30, 35 minutes. I don't want to take up too much of Chris's time today. And then we turn it into a podcast so that you can listen to it on playback. It's raw, it's upfront, it's close, it's personal. And it's not planned. And the only conversation that Chris and I had earlier this week was about the title for today's session. So I'll let Chris do an introduction in terms of a little bit about himself in a moment. But let me just give you the title of what we're talking about today. And this was driven from Chris. So we're going to be talking about why now is the time to create a lifetime of customer loyalty. And particularly in the climate that we're in, why that is so important and particularly why Chris is so passionate about it. So, firstly, Mr. Brindley, welcome and thank you for giving up your time today to be on Talking Pathways.
Pleasure, Royston. Like you said, we've known each other a long time. We get on well. We learn from each other. I think your books, you know, Built to Grow, Rise, and now Pathways have been really, really instrumental in all of the businesses that I've either worked in or latterly advised. So it's an absolute privilege to support Pathways and be here today.
And Chris, I know you're particularly passionate about this whole subject of the customer service experience. So do you want to give a bit of background in terms of why that's such a passionate focus and area of yours?
Yeah, I started off in a bank in 1982 printing checkbooks and was worked hard and became the managing director for NatWest for the North of England shop of 500 branches. I went to British Gas because I was recruited there to talk about customer experience and was the business director for the central heating and installation division. And then I moved to Metro Bank, and Metro Bank for me was the dream job because both the chairman and the chief exec decided that they wanted to set up a business that absolutely put the customer at the heart of everything. Now, a lot of companies say on their website and their values, we put the customer at the heart of everything. The answer is simply the don't. And sadly, not only are they lying to the customers, but they're lying to themselves. And I'll give you a great example, Royston. Never in history do I believe any customer has ever written to a bank or a mobile phone firm or electricity firm and said the following: I'm really fed up with people answering the phone immediately. What I'd like you to do is to install an automated voice response system that keeps me waiting on average 20 minutes. With the ridiculous phrase, we're experiencing an unusually high volume of calls at the moment. The reality is, it's the cost play because you don't want to pay people to answer the phone. So therefore, you try and use technology as an excuse. No customer wants ABR. So why do people absolutely mug themselves in thinking as a business, well, it's the right thing to do? It's the cheap thing to do. So I'm really passionate about getting great service, and as a customer, getting great service. Because ultimately, if you've got customers, there's a fair chance your business will survive. If you've got none, you've just got no cost, no income. And that's why I'm really passionate about it. And sadly, companies just don't get it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And it's interesting you talk about that culture of putting the customer at the heart of the business. I remember when Jack Ma talked about when he set Alibaba up, and one of the design principles from day one, he said, Alibaba is not a B2B business. It's not a B2C business. It's a C2B business.
Yeah.
And I guess one of my questions for you is then, if you see so many bad examples of it, you know, where are the good examples? And number two, how do you, whether you're a big business or small business, I want to make this really practical today for our listeners. How do you make it real? How do you truly build a business that has a reputation for a world-class service experience? that gives you differentiation, competitive edge in the marketplace, that allows you to grow exponentially and differentiate yourself from the competition. Whether you're a big business or small business, how do you do it, and where's the examples of best practice?
So I think the question everybody on this call or watching this podcast has to reflect on is, what's your value proposition? Not just, I want to make profit, because you can make profit by short term by absolutely giving the customers not a lot. The long term, though, is why don't you create that lifetime of loyalty? So what do you give back to the customers? So if I use Metro Bank as an example, we opened at 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, Monday to Friday. We opened 8 till 6 on a Saturday. We opened 11 till 5 on a Sunday. And we opened on bank holidays. And that was a value proposition, because we recognised that the existing model wasn't working. And if you think about it, a bank opens its doors at 9 o'clock when the majority of people have gone into work. The bank then shuts its doors before the people leave work. Then what do? They actually tell you to turn up at lunchtime. And then they allow staff at lunch hours. So they've got most customers, Jewish people. At Metro Bank, we open more small business accounts on a Sunday than any other day. And that's not a surprise, because if you're trying to run a business, it seems pretty sensible that maybe on a Sunday or a bank holiday, that's the chance when you want to speak to your bank and visit them. So we just opened. Secondly, Royston, we didn't charge our customers for using their card in Europe, whereas other banks charge an admin fee, a foreign exchange fee, a processing fee, and therefore we try to give something back. And if you want another example, I think the best one I've ever seen is Tesco. And one of the business leaders I admire hugely is Terry Leahy. And in the midst of one of the deepest financial crises, Terry Leahy and Tim Mason, his chief marketing officer, created something called Clubcard. Clubcard was giving money back to customers in the depth of the financial crisis. And the chief exec said to Terry Leahy, why are you giving money back when we might need it? And Terry Leahy said this, it's the most profound statement. If you give customers something back in their time of need, they will give you a lifetime loyalty. From that moment on, Tesco got bigger and bigger and bigger. So the question, again, I'd ask people, what have you given back to your customers? And if you think about hygiene factors and motivating factors, giving something back that's unexpected is a really, really good motivating factor. It makes your customers connect emotionally with your brand. If I look at the last 12 months, it's been difficult for lots of people. Here's the example that I would say are absolutely excellent in terms of giving something back. Sky Sports. When Sky Sports realised there was no live sport, they cancelled and gave you back Sky Sports subscription. What was interesting is you didn't have to do any forms. You didn't have to go online. You didn't have to call somebody up. They just said, we have the information, cancel the subscription. The second one is Admiral. Again, Admiral just straight away said, if you're a policy holder, you should give it back. Again, you didn't have to fill the form, you didn't have to go online, and there's no insurer that spends millions on advertising where you had to fill forms in to tell them what your mileage was, then work out if you have or you haven't, then submit a form, and then they might send you some money back. Well, that's making the customer do all the work. Whereas Admiral just said, we've got your bank account, we know your policy number, we'll send you some money back. For me, the best in travel counsellors had a 86% promotion pre-pandemic, and it's gone up. So when you've heard stories about organisations and airlines not giving refunds and stuff, they've been giving people money back immediately without any chase. And their promoter score has gone higher. What's really fascinating about all of this, and this is why business owners on this call have to look in the mirror and reflect, is I think the company reflects the quality of the leader. If I look at Tesco, Terry Lee spent 50% of his time in shops talking to customers and staff about the if they're not your travel counselors, he's simply outstanding. He absolutely puts the customer, his colleagues, and his people at the heart of everything. So there's a double fish right in the head. Funnily enough, if you want to see a good company, show me the good leader. If you want to see a company that's not very good, then look at the leader. And I think leaders need to focus on customer well as customer at the moment.
And Chris, I mean, everything you're talking about, I mean, none of it's rocket science, and I can see your point now about why you wanted this as a title and our theme for today's session, because particularly in the climate, if you talk about giving back, now is probably in the climate we're in where we need to be giving back more than ever, where we need to be going the extra mile, where there is a real opportunity to build that customer loyalty. So, I mean, the theory of it is absolutely spot on, but why are there only a handful of great examples of organizations, leaders, businesses doing this? And why is there a tribe of people who they understand this at a logical level, but they don't get it? How do you translate the concept into reality?
Look, there's lots of good ideas, but there's not a lot of people that execute and take action. So again, it goes back to, show me somebody's schedule that has, I am going to proactively speak to some customers today. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? We never find the time to proactively sort customers out, but we spend loads of time dealing with the complaints. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. So again, show me somebody's diary, show me where it says, I am going to proactively phone customers up. And this isn't just about money. I know I've given examples of giving money, but when was the last time you picked up the phone to a customer, particularly during the pandemic, and said, how are you? Is there anything I can do to help? Are there any articles that you've read that you think your customers would benefit from reading? That's not rocket science, but it means somebody has got to take proactive action. And it's just sometimes we get lost in what doesn't matter most. We get lost in paperwork and admin. I work with a hotel chain that I recommended the general manager should be in reception every morning and in the restaurant, actually thanking customers for staying that night and actually wishing them all the very best. And when I said, why don't you? They said, because we're answering emails. What? Get out there and talk to customers. Because we talk about acquisition and we see adverts every day, millions of pounds spent on companies trying to acquire customers. Well, what happens if you spend a load of money on acquiring some and no money on retaining some? Yeah. You'll spend a load of money and you'll still be in the same position or even worse. So again, I'd ask everybody on this call, what's your retention strategy? And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It can just be a thank you card for being a customer. It can be a phone call asking how you are. Is there anything I can do? It might be going to a customer that's maybe cancelled their retainer or contract with you because they've had to manage the finances in the short term. Don't ignore them. Get back in touch because they actually might re-engage with you. And lots of opportunity to talk about your customers' lives and you fit in with their life. Don't expect them to fit in with your model. And you have a great concept, Royston, called inside out and outside in, right? How many organisations sit in a board table inside the organisation and dictate what the customer's going to get, whether they like it or not? And that's the whole thing about automated voice response. That's probably a finance director and an ops director that says, we've got to cut our budgets, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of human beings giving great service, and we're going to install an automated voice response system. They don't give a shit about the customer. Whereas if you look at outside in, so stand outside your organisation, take the position of the customer and say, what is it as a customer I want from an organisation? So again, if I go back to Metro Bank, we had customer toilets. We had baby changing facilities in the customer toilets. In many locations, we've got a drive-through bank. Why? Because if people have got a young child and a car seat, and a buggy, or you've got a disability. Isn't it great the fact that you don't have to get out the car, get out the car seat, get your mobile buggy, and then try and get into the bank? Actually, you can just drive without getting out the car. And even if you've not got caring responsibilities, a disability, and it's raining, and I live in Manchester where it's always raining, guess what? You don't even get wet. As well, we allow dogs in Metrobank. Why? Because we've got lots of dog owners in this country. And you wouldn't chain your kids up against a fence outside of a bank before you went in. So we said, don't have you chaining your dogs up. And imagine going into your bank asking to use the toilet or asking to change your baby. And even worse, a question, why do banks chain pens down? Do they seriously think that all of their customers are thieves? That's the only reason I could think banks chain pens down.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Again, it's classic inside out. We don't want to spend a lot of money on pens. Well, somebody keeps taking one or two, chain them down. At Metrobank, we gave away 1.4 million pens in the time I was there. Funny enough, it had our logo on it, so it was really good advertising. And it's classic inside out versus outside in. And again, it's not rocket science, but you know what? More is said than done. And, you know, common sense is not common practice. So take a look at what you do with the customer at the heart and don't let bureaucracy and admin take over.
So, you mean, you have a really good point there. I passionately talk about that whole inside outside in philosophy. So if we're making this really practical for our listeners today, and somebody just put a comment in here, good to see you, Chris. So you are in demand. So the first practical action is to really probe, look in your own mirrors and ask that question. Are you building your business outside in or inside out? And your point that you're talking about there, Chris, walk through the shoes of the customer in looking at your business. And really walk through your business, thinking about how easy is it to do business with you? How great is the service experience currently? So I think that's absolutely the one practical action.
And ask your best friend to tell you the truth about your business. And, you know, these little things, isn't there, Royston? How many business owners have got a PA or somebody that does their stuff for them and they ring them direct? I'll tell you what, stop doing that, please. Ring the number on your website that customers have to ring. Yeah. That's when you find out exactly what service your company is giving your customers. Because if you don't ring the same number, you're never going to find out.
Yeah.
And I've done that with every business owner I sit down with. I say, let me ring your shop, your business, or the number on your website. Let me ask some questions about, I'm a potential customer, can I do business with you? Bloody hell. Talk about business prevention.
Yeah.
Whether that's AVR, whether that's simple questions that can't be answered. And again, businesses often put the most inexperienced person on the phone as the first point of contact that don't know the answers to the questions. That's business prevention. Perhaps you might want to put your best person on the phone as the first point of contact.
Yeah.
Just something as simple as that.
Yeah, yeah. And Chris, one thing I know you're passionate about is, and I link it to the expression, in a world where the big things make little difference, it's the little things that make a big difference. And I know you've shared with me previously and in the past the story of when you used to go and do branch visits.
Yeah.
And of course, the Metro Bank, you wouldn't call it branch, it was store visits. But one of the first things you do before you even entered the branch or the store, you go to the cash point machines and you put in your card and you check to make sure that the printouts that you got out for the statement, the ink was working or the cash machine was giving cash out. You know, is that detail, is that the essence of where it's about as well?
Well, it goes back to what do you want your customer to experience? Did I seriously want a customer to go to an ATM to get a printout of their mini statement or their balance and for them not being able to read it? Yeah. So if they can't read it, guess what they then do? They would walk into the branch or the store. And then we wonder why we had queues. So, you know, should we have a get it right first time policy? And you and I have shared this story many, many times, and it's just a good reminder for everybody. I used to have lots of people when we talked about customer experience or satisfaction that say, but Chris, we've scored 98%. You must be happy with that. And I remind people that if your job was to pack parachutes, you cannot be happy with 98% success rate. Because if you were happy with 98% success rate, basically you're condemning two people out of every 100 that jumped out of the plane to either death or serious injury. So why don't we just decide to be obsessed with excellence? Because it's not a percentage. It's a customer with an expectation that's not been met. If you keep doing that to them, eventually they will leave you. Yeah. Simple as. And the first value we had at Metro Bank was attend to every detail. I still have companies that can't be asked to even check that my name's spelled right.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know what, if they can't be bothered to check that my name's not spelled right, then they're not even going to bother about the service they're going to give me. Would you really get on a plane that hadn't been maintained, that looked a mess? I wouldn't. So it's just about what signals do you want to send out about your business. Now, as I said earlier, business director for British Gas. I wanted to make sure our guys were professional all the time. And that included cleanliness of the van. Because if our vans weren't clean and people were on the street going down the road and saw unclean vans, dirty vans, then that might give the impression that when our engineers went in the house, they might treat their house badly. Secondly, we were obsessed with safety. We're dealing with gas and electric. If we started to jump amber lights, the message that sends is, do they really, really take safety seriously? So I think it's the actions and intended consequences, but also just think of the unintended consequences. Yeah. And again, just going British Gas, I used to ask my engineers to park outside somebody's home and ask permission if they could unload on the drive. And that just said we were courteous. That was the first impression the customer got. It was nothing to do about the boiler we were fitting or the pipe work. It was just courtesy. I'd asked my engineers to offer to wash the cups that the homeowner had given my guys. Never wanted the homeowner to say, yeah, there's the fairy liquid. Off you go, wash your own cups. But guess what? It was absolutely a sign that our engineers respected the customer, respected the home, and were very grateful for being made cups of tea. And if you read the book called Legacy, which is about the New Zealand All Blacks, they have a phrase called sweep the sheds. If you go into a changing room after the greatest rugby union team, if not the greatest sports team of all time, have played in your stadium, your cleaner does not need to go into the All Blacks changing room and clean it. So sweep the sheds, personal responsibility. There's too many people want to look out the window and blame other people. Buy a mirror, look in it, ask yourself, am I doing everything I can to make my customers' lives better? And as a bank, we either wanted to make them money, save them money, or give them a better lifestyle. If you wake up every morning thinking about that, then quite frankly, you're not going to go far wrong when it comes to meeting customer needs.
It's brilliant. Chris, there's some brilliant stuff in here. So what I'm hearing is the inside outside approach is really important. Walking through your business through your customer's shoes, and be obsessed with the detail and set the standards of excellence really high. And most importantly as well, that aligns with that is the point that you made right at the start about your value proposition. Be clear about what your value proposition is, the value that you add, the difference that you make. And if everyone in your business buys into that and you get the service experience like, then you are really purposeful with what you're doing.
Absolutely. And people are prepared to pay for value. And I'd ask everybody to just think about the car that they've got on the drive or the clothes that they're wearing. Did they go and buy the cheapest? I don't believe they did. I believe they would have made a decision based on value. Cost of servicing, how long might it last? Has it got a good reputation for not breaking down? The clothes that you wear that might cost a bit more but last a bit longer. It's all about value proposition. We are looking at value all the time, but sometimes when we run a business, we become obsessed with price and profit. For me, profit is a byproduct of amazing service, of amazing product value. But yeah, a lot of people actually just look at profit and start chopping the value off.
Yeah. And Chris,
bonkers. It's a long-term strategy. It's bonkers. Short-term, it might get you a few quid. Long-term, it won't.
And Chris, I was just thinking as we're talking here that this session is so timely at the start of 2021 because in the climate that we're in at the moment, it's so easy for you to regress and become insular in your own world. We're locked in our homes, and the same can apply to your business. You batten down the hatches. Whereas from a service experience, what we're saying is actually you need to do the opposite. You can't batten down the hatches. You've got to get outside in. You've got to be more focused on your customers than ever. You've got to be adding more value to your customers than you ever have done. And in the process of doing that, then you will create unbelievable levels of loyalty where you will have customers who, what I stay, say, and pay. They'll stay with you forever. They'll say great things about you, and they're great customers because they pay the bills on time and they are really loyal to you and your business.
And Royston, it's spot on. Well, look, we've all had a bit more time over the last 11 months. We have. It's how we've chosen to use some of that time. That's why put a slot in your diary to talk to some customers. And you know what? You might not be able to talk to every customer. Question, do you know which are your most valuable customers?
Yeah.
And at least phone them. Because, again, if your average product sale is £10 to a customer and you've got one customer that spends £100 and you lose them, you've got to go and acquire 10 average paying customers to replace that one. It costs you a lot of money to get 10 brand new customers. What about a strategy of keeping your best ones? Yeah. What about a strategy of talking to your customers that maybe only hold one product of yours that you might offer four or five products to the market? Why don't you just talk to the customer and say, did you know I have five products? Would any of them be of interest to you at the moment? Because you clearly have got one and you're happy with the one. And they might say things like, I never knew you did that. So as well as acquisition and retention, I always talk about expansion. How can you get a better share of wallet? And Sky again do this brilliantly. They started off with subscription TV and then they went into lots of different products that we've all started to buy. Apple do the same. We start off with one product and our share of wallet with Apple or with Sky grows and grows and grows, whether that's broadband, mobile phone, sort of HD, Q boxes. So why don't you tell your customer what you have to offer?
Yeah.
You never know. They might buy something from you. But if they don't know, they can't.
Yeah. And you, I mean, you're hitting on something here. And what I'm hearing clearly, Chris, is that the commercial journey of the customer through your business is so intertwined with the service experience. And if you get the service experience right and you really understand your commercial journey of the customer through your business, through acquisition, through maximization opportunities, and through retention, if you've got those two strands working in unison, then you really can build a business that's capable of both accelerated, sustained, and profitable growth.
Well, let me give you another Tesco story because I think it's really powerful. Tesco under Terry Leahy had a plus one strategy for the number of people that would wait at checkout. So if there was more than one, there needed to be a call to everybody to say, can we have more people on the checkout, please? And as I said earlier, Terry Leahy used to spend 50% of his time walking the floor to find out not just what his team were doing, but actually talking to customers. How has it been for you? Is there any way I could improve the service for you? So, as I say, walking the floor. One day he was walking the floor with the store manager and there was two people in a queue. So Terry said to the store manager, I'll let you go and call somebody on. And he turned around and said, well, I'm not going to do that because the second person in the queue is a student and he's only got a basket that's about £2.30. So Terry Leahy said, why wouldn't you treat them by getting the extra cashier on? And he said, because they're of no value. So Terry Leahy took him straight away into the staff room, got a flip chart out and said, what was his basket size again? He said, I reckon it was £2.50. He says, okay. So he comes in every week for £2.50, yeah. He said, do you think he'll get a job when he graduates? So the store manager went, yeah, of course he will. He went, will he buy more shopping? Anyway, well, yeah. Well, how much do you think you'll buy? Well, maybe it's £20 a week. He said, do you think one day you actually might meet someone, like a partner, and live together? He went, yeah. He said, do you think his shopping bill will go up or down? Let him go up. He said, do you think then they might actually have children? Yeah, do you think the shopping bill will go up or down? He said, so how long do you think he's going to live? He said, about 70 years. And they calculated that that person in that queue had a lifetime value of £250,000 to Tesco.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and that's another thing we need to look at, lifetime value.
Yeah. So don't just get focused on the here and now. When you understand lifetime value, then you understand the importance of the service experience.
And it's the customer's journey of life that if you can plug into, that's when you'll get the lifetime of loyalty. And that's how a lot of businesses work.
Yeah. And Chris, that's a great point to bring us to our close. I can't believe we've been going for half an hour already. Chris, I'd love you to come back and do another session on Talking Pathways, because I know leadership is another of your passionate areas. And the conversations that you and I have had over the years about leadership, there is some undoubted golden nuggets that I'd love you to share with the Talking Pathways tribe at some point. So please, I'd love you to come back on.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
And if you've not gone on to everything we're talking about today here in terms of customer loyalty, if you go onto Pathways, if you've not done the customer service experience growth enabler, go onto the Pathways platform. If you're not subscribed to it, you can do a 14-day free trial. But actually, I think every one of us within the first 30 days of January, whatever role you play in your business, customer service experience and building and creating customer loyalty in the climate we're in has got to be top of mind and one of our highest priority actions. So go back and watch this podcast of Chris, because he's shared some real golden nuggets with us today. Go onto the Pathways platform, growthpathways.com, complete the customer service experience growth enabler. And also in the sales growth enabler is the whole piece that Chris was talking about AMR, acquisition, maximization, retention, lifetime value. There's a whole webinar and section in the sales growth enabler on that as well. So Chris, just a personal massive thank you from me for taking time out today. I'm sure everybody will be raving and wanting you back, so we'll make sure that we get that locked in. But a personal thank you from all the listeners today for making time.
A pleasure, and best wishes to all your listeners, all your viewers for 2021. Go make it happen.
Thanks, Chris. From the Talking Pathways team, go make it happen, take action, achieve more, and we'll see you on the next Talking Pathways series episode. Thanks. Bye.
Bye, everybody.